and proposed actions.
Good afternoon, Chairman Young, members of the board, Laurie, Roger, Carol. I'm pleased to say I've already changed my presentation today because it originally started good evening. So, my name is Howard Kolb, and I have the pleasure of working on the Timber Harvest program. Today I would like to discuss a summary of timber harvest activities and proposed actions, or what I'm calling the universe of timber harvest in the Central Coast region. You've already heard three talks. Dominic gave an intro, Mark gave an overview of the regional sediment assessment, and Katie's talked specifically about the San Lorenzo TMDL. I want to point out that timber, these first two talks were focused on sediment. Timber, although the operations have the potential to both negatively and positively impact sediment loads, they're just one activity captured under those different studies, and there are other parameters of concern that we have to think about when we talk about timber. For example, temperature, and I'll get to that in a little bit. Last time the board talked about timber was September 10th, and there was a very clear direction from the board, and they wanted to know three things. Where have we been? Where are we going? And how do we get there? Where have we been? Since January of 2003, the board has listened to a proposed conditional waiver very early in 2003. You've discussed a timber harvest framework in September 2003, and you've seen numerous individual conditional waivers. I would just like to touch on a few little key aspects that the staff report. We go into more detail about the individual waivers. We discuss the reporting, the pre- and post-harvest inspections, and some enforcement issues. I'd like to point out that in your folder today there was an updated spreadsheet of Attachment 1. The reason we updated that is it includes five additional post-harvest inspections, and it also includes two additional monitoring reports that we were able to find in our files. Attachment 1 shows that we've done 19 pre-harvest, 2 during harvest, and 11 post-harvest inspections, and every waiver was inspected at least once, some multiple times. Staff intends to continue this type of level of inspection, particularly focusing on post-harvest inspections. Under enforcement, we do have some cases, and I would like to save that for a little later in the discussion, but just let you know that we are on it. There have been several opportunities for the board to discuss timber harvest. You'll recall the timber tour in April of 2003, the timber workshop in June of 2004, and you've had numerous monitoring presentations at several board meetings. At the timber tour, those on the tour visited a site that did not have a waiver, or an individual waiver was covered under our previous waiver program. You visited a 3-acre conversion site, and then there was a post-harvest of a recently finished plant. And I'd like to also say I'm going to come back to that 3-acre conversion site a little later in the presentation. At the timber workshop stressed the variability of sediment and the analysis of that as a problem. It stressed that we need to focus on the protection of water quality and beneficial uses, and emphasize the need to ask appropriate questions to focus the monitoring. During the various board meetings and monitoring presentations, during the timber tour, you learned about the solar pathfinder siting tube. You saw a demonstration of a turbidimeter. During the timber workshop, Dr. Reed talked about different types of questions you need to address monitoring. Dr. Harris talked about forensic monitoring. There were a host of other presentations. And then in some of the board meetings, for example, Dr. Dietrich gave a presentation about the Little Creek study. So we've been getting a consistent dose of a lot of different kinds of information over the last 2 years. These next about 12 slides, and particularly these next five, show management practices. And these first five show management practices that were only partially implemented. And you can see there in the foreground sediment moving off the landing. The landing is where the logs sit, and you can see the tractor in the background. This is a improperly or not completely installed correctly water bar, and you can see that it has problems. Similarly, here's a road that, case in point, they just did not implement these BMPs fully. And here's another little bit of erosion. These five slides were from the Manson Creek Lands of Holmes. We have issued an NOV on that, and if you'd like more detail, I can bring that up a little later in the study.
When were these taken?
Those were taken in October of this year.
And when was the THP issued, or the waiver issued by us?
That was issued May of 2003. These next slides show management practices that were implemented correctly. This is a parcel up in the Ramsey Creek drainage. You're looking at a road that's been in its current state for 2 years. They used it approximately 2 years ago, implemented BMPs. Staff did walk this road. We noticed no problems. This is a picture of a harvest that was just completed at the end of 2004. What you're looking at there is slash pack on the slope. This is slash pack, and slash is the limbed parts of the trees that are left behind, and then they're cut into pieces so that they break the fall of the water as the rain comes to the ground. They also keep sediment and debris from moving down the hill unabated. This is a landslide that was slash packed. This is a class 3 water course that was slash packed. It was also hayed and seeded. And a class 3 water course is a water course that only flows during major storm events. This is a picture of a different timber harvest. This is a landing that was properly managed, hayed and seeded, and you can see the grass is starting to grow. You can see there's no movement. And this is after a minimum of 4 inches of rain, and I don't know exactly, but they had almost 11 inches of rain in this area, and I understand that this landing is doing well. This picture here is a picture of a slide that when they previously went into this harvest 10, 15 years ago, they had directed some water over this bank, and it was causing this slide or this erosion to occur. In the recent harvest, this is McLean, this is another waiver, they implemented some BMPs, redirected water away from that. They've hayed, seeded, and stabilized this. And this last picture is one that I was the staff on in the late 90s, approximately 98. This is a water crossing. What you're looking at, that's the creek right there. That's a straight up and down bank, and there was a flat car bridge that came across just like that. And as you can see, after 6 years, unless you knew that there was a flat car bridge, you would not know that a THP occurred in this particular location. So, where are we going? Protection of water quality and beneficial uses is achieved through a multifaceted implementation efforts. And what I mean by that is there's a variety of things that can be done, not only by timber operations, but as Katie pointed out, by roads and private roads, county roads, and things like that. These implementation efforts include management practices to prevent impacts to water quality and beneficial uses, and monitoring to ensure compliance. So we want to make sure that when you're required to implement a management practice, you get out and do that. Assessment of those implementation efforts need to recognize the dynamic nature of watershed monitoring, evaluate the complexity of those watersheds, and we really need to come up with questions that we want to answer and design the monitoring programs to address those questions. And again, that was reiterated by Dr. Reed in the monitoring workshop. Now, as I said earlier, sediment is one issue of concern with timber harvesting. We're also concerned about canopy cover. We're concerned about canopy because of its potential impact to allow more solar radiation to get to the water course, elevating temperatures, and temperature is a critical parameter for aquatic organisms, particularly the fisheries, which we've been talking about. Timber alone cannot resolve the broader issue of watershed monitoring. As I said, it's one potential source of sediment, and it is heavily regulated. The practice is regulated by two state agencies. California Department of Forestry issues the approval of the timber harvest practice, and then the state Regional Water Quality Control Board, we issue a waiver. The practice is also inspected by four state agencies, California Department of Forestry, the Regional Board, Department of Fish and Game, and the California Geologic Survey, in addition to one county, the County of Santa Cruz, and then any water purveyor, and this is a Santa Cruz County rule, any water purveyor that's in a watershed where timber harvest occurs is allowed to go on a timber harvest pre-harvest inspection to make sure that their water source is protected. So every pre-harvest inspection typically includes a minimum of four state agencies, one county, and one local water purveyor. There are inspections before harvest, inspections during harvest, and inspections after harvest. These management practices are tracked. CDF, California Department of Forestry, make sure that management practices are implemented. If they find violations or they sense that something's going wrong, they have the ability to issue a warning. And if they see a violation, they can issue a violation. They notify us of all violations and get us involved. And again, when we issue our waivers, monitoring and reporting is required for all plans. All timber harvest activities are required to maintain their property for a minimum of 5 years, which is the life of the waiver, and monitor any impacts. To illustrate this, that timber isn't the sole issue, and again, Mark said this was just a demonstration, and by no means is this the be-all, end-all, but it's just an interesting illustration. These were five watersheds. You can see that the Soquel, Aptos, and San Lorenzo have a lot of mapped roads. The two drainages to the north do not. This next slide shows where the dominant THP parcels are. That's in green. The shaded areas are State Park, the purple shaded areas. And then the yellow boundary shows the watersheds that are on the 303D list as impaired by sediment. That's not to imply that timber, this watershed over here, this is Scott Little Creek area, and this is the Waddell Creek area. This is not to imply that there is not some impact from sediment in these watersheds. They're not listed. Scott Watershed does have the last remaining coho run. There is a lot of good things to say about it, but again, I just don't want to drive home the. I just want to drive home the point. There are other factors influencing impacts related to sediment in these watersheds. We encourage the regional board when we participate in the timber harvest practice. Timber harvest planning program, we encourage that any proposed plan address existing problems or previously caused problems, and we support plans that address roads in a positive way in terms of eliminating roads where necessary or improving roads. This is one of our plans where they needed to maintain this road, and you can see that it's there's a crossing right underneath here. It's coming down right there. They needed to get across this. They want to maintain this in perpetuity as part of the planning process. They agreed, and they came in and they rocked it. They put some hay and seed on the borders, and it's a much more stable situation. You're not going to see a lot of sediment moving off this road, whereas before you might have seen material. So how do we get there? Staff is proposing in our staff report that the regional board direct staff to develop a general conditional waiver and that we bring it back in February of 2005. We want to point out that we're proposing that the waiver address Port of Cologne sections 13269 and 13267. Those can be found in your staff report as attachment 6, and that we move forward with compliance inspections. That said, there are other regulatory options. The board has already approved two waivers under the existing general waiver for inert waste. And if we do have plans that don't need a conditional waiver, we could always approve plans if we feel they're no threat to water quality. Conversely, if we feel that there is a severe threat to water quality, the board always has the privilege and the ability to issue waste discharge requirements. We feel that most timber harvest plans can be handled under, or staff feels that most timber harvest plans can be handled under a conditional waiver. So what would a conditional waiver consist of? Staff is still working on this, but generally that an applicant would submit an NOI to be covered by the terms of the waiver. Staff would review an application. The executive officer would have the ability to approve this, and staff would then notify the applicant of coverage. The approved coverage would be notified to the board the following month, which is similar to other waivers. Then applicants would be required to comply with the conditions and terms of the waiver, implement management practices, monitor and report as required. Staff is still evaluating whether or not we need different levels of monitoring for whether you have a Class 1 versus a Class 2 versus a Class 3 water course. And there are still some CEQA issues that we're working out with legal counsel. When crafting a conditional waiver, of course, the condition should focus on the protection of water quality, and we need to do some monitoring to ensure that those conditions are met. I want to take a brief segue into something that it's relevant and it just came up. In your packet, you got a couple letters, one from the Ocean Conservancy, and then there's also an inspection report from the Smelt Locatelli plant. And there's been a lot of discussion about the evolution of the bar and how the monitoring programs have changed over time. The original bar was established on Scott Creek, and that is a Class 1 water body. It's very high-quality coho habitat. And there is some question as to whether or not that type of bar is appropriate for a Class 2 or a Class 3 water body where you would not have the same type of habitat and fishery. There are three plans, the Smelt Locatelli, Bartlebaugh, and Little Creek, which are all managed by Big Basin Water Company. Big Basin is also on Scott Creek. And when the board brought, or when staff brought these other three plans to the board, the Big Creek Lumber Company asked that instead of turbidity monitoring, they be allowed to use their roads inventory program. And this was agreed upon at the board meeting, and those waivers were adopted without the turbidity requirement. And the reason I'm kind of going into this is there was some discussion of how we moved off that and why we moved off that. And what I'd like to show you, and you have it, and I'll go through it very briefly, but in your staff report you can kind of follow with me. This is an example of how the roads inventory project works.